Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway, brought to you by Refreshment Services Pepsi and Harvest Ridge Coffee. As always, Harvest Ridge, our great sponsor. Jenna joins us today from Arts Quincy, and we're going to talk about everything happening. And we'll start off with Music Under the Stars. This is at the Mark Twain Boyhood Home and Museum in Hannibal, Thursday night, June 1st at 7. What can you tell us about this, Jenna? Good morning.
Good morning, Mary. Thanks for having me. This is the kickoff to summer. It's appropriate. It starts June 1st. These free concerts take place every Thursday at 7 o'clock, starting tomorrow through Thursday, August 31st. So there's going to be a fun-filled summer full of concerts. So this one, it features Stepping Back. And, yeah, they'll start at 7. You can bring a chair and set up there on Historic Hill Street. It's right outside the museum. And then they also have vendors there with drinks and some food options as well.
Sounds great. Every Thursday night, 7 o'clock, bring your own lawn chair at the Mark Twain Boyhood Home and Museum. They've got a wide variety of bands, and the first one, Stepping Back, everybody loves them. They're kind of a good old oldies. If you're of a certain age, you'll know every song they play. Let's talk a little bit about German Fest. We've covered some of it, but the Kinderplatz is going to have activities for children on Saturday afternoon from 3 to 7. So while the adults, you know, are having fun listening to the German music and watching the German dancers, somebody can take the kids over to Kinderplatz and enjoy all the free face painting and fair-styled games that are going on over there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really nice to have that available for the kids. And, it's just a fun family event all the way around. So, I encourage you to get out there to that.
It's absolutely free. It's at South Park. There is a shuttle from Hy-Vee. And, of course, they're going to have the Waterloo German Band Friday night from 5 to 8, and the Wurst Bavarian Band, which is W-U-R-S-T, Friday from 8 to 10:30. And so it's just going to be a wonderful, wonderful event, and the Wurtansen Dance Troupe from St. Louis will be providing authentic German dancing. We've got time for one more. I'm going to skip summer reading. Let's go to Arts and Movie Night, Tuesday, June 13th, 6 to 8 at Jackson Lincoln Pool, 701 North 8th. I know that Arts Quincy has just gone out of its way to make these things wonderful. It's Encanto night.
Yeah. Yeah. These nights are really special to us. This is, I believe, the third year that we've got this going. And it just really brings community together and everybody gets to have a good time. We couldn't do it without our sponsors, especially Blessing Health System. They provide a free meal to everyone who's there. This time we'll have walking tacos, but they also provide volunteers and just help us make everything run smoothly. So we also will have our partners. Some of them will be coming and doing a booth with activities for the kids. So that everything happens from 6 to 8 on Tuesday, June 13th at Jackson Lincoln Swimming Complex.
Yeah.
And then we have also booked Okra Dance Company for a performance on Tuesday, July 11th. So they'll be doing a performance called Roots to Rap. And what it is a 400-year journey through African-American history on how the music came from Africa and developed into what we know today. So,
okay, now we've got two conflicting dates there. Which is Tuesday? Is it June 13th or June 11th? Because I've got conflicting dates. What is Tuesday? It's Tuesday. Oh, June. June 13th is Tuesday. July 11th is also a Tuesday. I gotcha.
Yes.
Duh.
Yeah, and we kind of do that on purpose, too, is to have them both on Tuesday so that we have it in your brain. And we like to do it in the middle of the week. Just there aren't many other conflicts, and, you know, just 2 hours, it's not a bad time for people to get out and enjoy themselves. So this is completely free. You can bring a chair or a blanket to sit on during the movie, and we'll have free food and fun family activities.
Well, Jenna, you've given us a great update. We appreciate it. ArtsQuincy.com. artsquincy.org, artsquincy.org, for any information that you need. And thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to learn about our Quincy gems. So stay tuned. Jake Hollensteiner's here. You're too old to be in the Adams County Fair Queen pageant, Jake, but you can still work for the Quincy Gems. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. We are doing good. We are a little exhausted, but very anxious for today, game one, and then opening weekend this weekend.
Okay. Gems open their season today. Haven't seen Jake since we had lunch together at the Fellowship for Christian Athletes. That was a great time. Got to meet your lovely wife and your little boy, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was a really good time. Let's talk about the gems this year. I know that the lineup is always fluid. Some kids are still filling out their college requirements. So when we go to opening night, first of all, how can we get tickets, when and where, all this other good stuff?
Oh, absolutely. Similar to last year, got a digital ticketing platform, so you are able to go online or via the app, Hometown Ticketing app. Find us there or just on our website. You can buy those in advance or, of course, just, the simple way, walk up to the gate. We'll take care of you. Got a bunch of smiling faces there. We'll get you right in. Got a game today, so we are sending the boys on the road. Got about half the team here today, just like you mentioned. Some guys still traveling, some guys still playing. But we got a great group of guys this year, and we're very excited about them. And we think you guys are going to like them too. So.
Okay, this is Friday night, the home opener.
Home opener Friday night, starting off with a bang, pun intended. We do have fireworks that night. Gempire night, returning favorite Gempire night, capes and crowns. So we'll have all the superhero princesses. We'll have the players are going to be decked out in special jerseys. Again, fireworks will be at the end of the game. We'll have giveaways. We'll have prizes. We'll have on-field games, the whole shebang. So definitely looking forward to starting the season off right.
Okay. Then Friday night, then what's next for the Gems?
Then we got two more games. So it's actually opening weekend for us.
So it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yes, all three. Just right. We're just going to come out hot and heavy in Quincy. So
I tell you, I think that as you go around the league, we do have one of the best attendance. I'm sure.
Oh yeah, yeah. We have a Quincy faithful. I would say on average we bring out every bit of 1,000 plus, and weekends we're even pushing 2,000. Fireworks always jumps up the attendance. So yes, great, great community faithful. We lean on them, and they don't let us down.
Okay, if you've never been to a Gems game, bring the kids Friday night especially. They can dress up as a princess or a superhero whatever character they want to be. They can dress up, and then there'll be fireworks after the game. And you still let the kids run the bases after the game?
Yeah, on certain nights, usually on fireworks nights, but we got to wait till after that. But yeah, absolutely. They'll get us take pictures, get autographs, run the bases, that whole. We kind of break down that player-fan barrier, so there's they really get a chance to do some special fun things, that they wouldn't otherwise at a major league park. So,
and I think, what we all know is many people can't afford to go to a major league park. And for the little kids, the littlest ones, seeing a Gem baseball player, Adam Wainwright, okay, but
yes,
you're not going to get access to him. So just, they love a baseball player. It's someone they can look up to, a hero of theirs. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all night games?
All night games.
All night games.
First pitch every night is 6:35 p.m., gates open at 5:30, so get there. Make sure you get your giveaways. We'll have, of course, a little biased here, but the best food in town. We got JJ's Catering in there, slinging some food, cold beverages. It's gonna be a good time.
It's a good time. So for ticketing information again for your Quincy Gems, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, get your tickets for a 6:35 pitch at the app.
Yep, at the Hometown Ticketing app, QuincyGems.com website, or like we said, just walk up there. We'll get you in there just as quick and easy that way as well.
Okay. Jake Hollensteiner, looking forward to having you as a regular guest on the Mary Griffith Show on Wednesdays, telling us about the Quincy Gems. It's 9:29. We're talking about June Fest in just a moment. And I am so excited to have this woman on my show today. She's a sociologist and a playwright, Cecilia Nadal, Hope I'm getting that last name right.
You said it perfectly.
Okay, and you're talking real good in that microphone. I'm so proud of you. You can tell an actress. Let me just say that. Now, the reason Cecilia's here today in Quincy, she's doing a preview tour of events that are going to be happening Saturday, June 10th at the Hannibal LaGrange University. It is the Juneteenth in Hannibal, and it's from 1 to 4 in the afternoon. It's a free event. And it's the shared history of Germans and African Americans throughout Missouri. As African Americans struggled for their freedom, a lot of people from Germany were abolitionists. And let's face it, women didn't get the right to vote without men voting for us. Black people did not become free without white people advocating for that. So on this Juneteenth celebration, we're going to talk a lot about that. It's going to be wonderful music, wonderful food, and I want to get right down to what you're going to be doing, Cecilia, which is presenting a portion of a play that you've written, I understand.
Yes, that's right. Back in 2018, I was exposed to information about the role that German abolitionists played in Missouri, information I had never heard before, and I was so moved by it. That I dug in, went to Hermann, went into the Deutschheim Museum, started to read books all over the place, and I found out that that relationship was very significant, but it was not well publicized, largely because the Germans, in coming to Missouri back in the 1830s, were themselves discriminated against because they spoke German or Dutch, as locals would call it. It was actually Deutsch. And with that treatment, you would think that they would be so busy trying to make a life for themselves that they would not take on being abolitionists. It's sort of like people are bothering me about who I am, but I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to, you know, scratch the surface on that and fight for abolitionism. So I was taken by that and started to do interviews and look at that history under a microscope. So part of the play that I wrote called An Amazing Story, German Abolitionists of Missouri, is going to be presented. About 30 minutes of actually an hour and a half play.
So an excerpt of the play.
That's correct.
And you've performed this at Hermann and in Washington, Missouri, and in other places. And again, Juneteenth, we now have Juneteenth. Hannibal's always had one for a long time, for many years. Now Quincy has one, Macomb has one, Keokuk has one. It's becoming much more popular. Of course, it has become a national holiday now. You'll get the Monday off for Juneteenth. But so many people, no matter what the color of their skin is, think, well, that's just a celebration for black folk. And here in Quincy especially, and now down in Hannibal, we're trying to turn that around. No, it's a celebration of American folk.
Absolutely.
Black and white.
That's
who
right.
Who worked together, who struggled together, who sometimes didn't always get along or agree together.
That's
but
right.
Came together to do this. Now, Quincy, of course, this Juneteenth event is being held in Hannibal at Hannibal LaGrange University. Quincy has a huge German population, and we also were on the forefront of the abolitionist movement. Now, it was really interesting in Missouri. Missouri never, they couldn't quite decide what they were. They never seceded. They never became a Confederate state officially, but they fought.
They
mostly
tried.
On the side of the Confederacy.
They tried. Yes.
But they couldn't quite get it done, and a lot of it was who controlled the armory in St. Louis, who controlled the Capitol in Jefferson City. Up here in this neck of the woods, highly, highly Confederate across the river, skirmishes back and forth all
That's
the time.
Right.
So when you're discovering this, and you say you hadn't known much about this as, you know, later in your life you discover this, what are some of the fascinating aspects about Missourians who were abolitionists? Because depending on where they live, they could be a pocket of the majority, or they could be the minority very quickly.
Absolutely. And that's really an important point, Mary. Let's take Friedrich Mensch. Friedrich Mensch became a senator in the state of Missouri. He came over from Germany, very raw. They called him a Latin farmer. That basically meant that he was a guy who got a lot of education and suddenly became a farmer when he got to America. But Friedrich Mensch became an abolitionist right off the boat, so to speak. And one of the comments that he made was that in his own town, people threatened to burn down his home. They threatened to move him out. He said, so what do we do if we know that this is wrong and we ourselves have been like slaves in the motherland? What do we do in this new country that purports to be a democracy? What do we do to help these people? He raised that question and tried to touch the consciousness of Germans. And so what you're saying is what got to me and got to my heart, that here they are struggling in the Wild West to create a home, to find a job, to generate income, to overcome language barriers, and yet with all of those hurdles, they would take the time to figure out how they could help these black people out. Now, what's interesting is that they didn't know those black people. It's not like, you know, they themselves all had slaves, although I will tell you that there were abolitionists who had slaves. But there's some,
it was part of the economy.
It was.
You know, I mean, it but many people looked upon it very, there were different ways to look upon
that's
it.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Well, to show you the difference, and this is where we kind of lump people all into the same group. We've done that with African-American people, lumping them all together. And we also do it with white people. We lump them all together. And the fact is that there's a graduation of the way in which they engage with advocacy. And what's interesting to me, which I found out very recently, is that Germans were very much proponents of education. So guess what? They taught their slaves to read and write. There are even Germans who taught the slaves that they had, and I'm not saying they were happy slaves, that's not the message I'm trying to give, but they taught some of the slaves to speak German. And the reason they taught them to speak German is because in their mind's eye, once the emancipation occurred, they could still work with Germans and be able to make a life.
They were looking forward to a day when there would be no slavery.
That's exactly
right. And they were preparing
right.
their slaves for that. And, you know, we do have to be careful, and I'm glad you said that. You never want to say, oh, well, that master didn't beat him, so they must have been happy. No, slavery is wrong in all components.
Absolutely.
Some people had it
yes.
more horrible than others.
That's
but just
right.
the fact of being enslaved
right.
is horrendous. But there is an interesting aspect about that, because in Ireland, my people, you know, were kind of pushed out. What they did, they couldn't afford to feed us. They didn't think we were equals. It had nothing to do with the color of our skin. Obviously, Irish people are white, just like English people are white. But they didn't treat us as equals, and they couldn't afford to feed us. So it was cheaper to put us on a steerage boat like a slave ship, mm-hmm. pack us in the cargo hold, mm-hmm. and send us over here and say, once you get on shore in the United States of America, good luck. You know, mm-hmm. get a job and feed yourself. Mm-hmm. Irish people coming out of that would buy land and become slaveholders in the South. So they went from slavery to owning slavery.
That's right.
Germans didn't have a slave system, but they had the peasant system. They were
That's
serfs
right.
on the kingdom.
Yes.
And very interesting. Now, Quincy was founded by abolitionist people from New England who got their land here after the War of 1812. It was all land grant from War of 1812 soldiers. When the Germans came to Quincy was when John Wood couldn't figure out how to build a better house. He had a two-story log cabin, and he's like, this is it, honey. That's all I know how to do. So he went down to St. Louis and brought up a lot of German craftsmen, and the rest is history.
Yes.
The German people brought with them so much craftsmanship, so much culture and ability. Now, when we start talking about the relationship between white German heritage people in Missouri and black people of an African heritage, how closely were these groups working together? Because I think of places like Herman, Missouri, where they were like settled by a whole bunch of German people. There weren't a lot of black people around.
No.
So it was more an intellectually I'm against slavery
That's
rather
right.
than I'm trying to raid the farm next door and get rid of the slaves.
Yeah,
there.
But they did actually get involved, even though they were sort of isolated from what was going on in Missouri. To give you one example, oftentimes there were slaves that were runaways. And there is a big incident that occurred on the Missouri River right by Herman, where though emancipation was declared, there were still slaveholders trying to get people to get their slaves back and bring them in illegally back to the farms. And it was Herman people who stood up and stood out on that Mississippi area by their town, and they actually watched the waters to make sure that the bushwhackers wouldn't come and take those runaway slaves at a time in which it was already changing towards emancipation. And that included the publisher of the Hermanner Wochenblatt, who was very German, Edward Mule, and also Carl Straley. So these guys got out of their, you know,
their comfort zone.
Press room,
yeah,
and came out and helped them out. It was extraordinary that they would do what they did, knowing that they'd get a lot of flack from other people. But what was smart about it, and this is kind of a pro and con, Herman was very much kind of a utopia where it was all Germans, and they all came there because they wanted to be next to each other. So they had control over what was going on. That was both good and bad, because they could maintain their sort of liberal ideas, but at the same time, they did not necessarily have the opportunity to really get to know black people. They could help them and still not have relationships
they
with them.
They didn't get to know English people. They didn't get to know Italian people. And that is one of the things. All these utopian cities, they've got them in Indiana, they had Philadelphia. There's all these places where German people originally settled. Mm-hmm. And the idea was us, you know, come. Not that they were trying to exclude, but in a way they were. It's like, here we are. The same thing happened in Quincy. John Wood goes down, gets some German craftsmen. The first thing they do is say, hey, we have found the land of milk and honey. This guy pays us well. You know, this is a great place. There's plenty of land. There's all kinds of things to do. They're writing to St. Louis and back home to Hereford, Germany, saying, get over here as quickly as you can. This is the land where we can really be successful. And interestingly enough, we went from being like a New England sensibility to being a German sensibility. In about 40 years, the Germans outnumbered the original, quote-unquote, settlers by so much that Protestant, waspy influence in Quincy was kind of lost. You know, it was in an underculture then, and the Germans, either you were Catholic German or Lutheran German.
Yeah.
You know, those were the two.
Or you were a free thinker.
Ah, free thinker.
And there were a lot of free thinkers coming from Germany. These are the guys who kind of recognized that standard religion didn't always help you. They thought it was more of a control of people otherwise. But that was a few. It was not a lot, yeah.
Well, I think you can tell that Cecilia Nadal has a lot to say, and she's joined on a panel that will be here Saturday, June 10th, by Dr. Sidney Norton, Dr. John Wright, and Dr. Gary Kramer, and this panel discussion will be from 1 to 4. There'll be a lot of things. A taste of German and African-American appetizers. Who doesn't like food? That's one of the way the cultures come together. I love it. They're talking about some of the food. Fried chicken, macaroni and cheese, bratwurst and kraut, sweet potato pie, Linzer cookies, collard greens, and more. So I think you'll find something you like on that menu. The symposium is at 2. The musical presentation is a little after 2. And then, of course, the 30-minute excerpt from the play. Now, you're the playwright. Do you also act in the play?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Just a playwright.
Just the playwright.
I don't make for a good actress.
Well, if you need someone to play a black woman, here I am. No, I'm such a good actress. Cecilia, we're going to be out of time. It's just wonderful. We'll continue to promote this. But everybody, mark your calendars for this Juneteenth event in Hannibal. And don't forget Jim's Journey, the museum down there that talks a lot about slavery in Marion County. Of course, Mark Twain, his books are famous for talking about that. Yes, please.
Yeah, I just want to say I want to commend Faye Dant of Jim's Journey for doing this. Because as you said, typically Juneteenth celebrations are all about Freedom Day, all about the freedom of black people. But the fact that she will be the first black organization in the state of Missouri to have the courage to say, let's talk about the allies of African American people, I think that is just incredible, and that it's going to be in Hannibal. So what I'm here today to appeal to the Germans and others in Quincy to come and join us. Join us. Let Juneteenth be us rather than we. Or me. All right. Us rather than me.
You couldn't have said it any better. And I think that as the years progress, Juneteenth will become just like that. It is not the Black 4th of July.
Yeah.
It is everybody's Juneteenth. We don't have to separate our cultures, folks. This is a big salad bowl. Everybody stays individual. I still want to be my little Brussels sprout, but I don't mind mixing around with the carrots and the peas. Okay? So keep your own culture, but know your own culture, because Cecilia didn't know that her people were freed by my people. So, you know, it takes everybody working together.
Yeah.
So, and women, you know, every group, no matter what group you belong to, whatever subgroup, redheads, Irish people, whatever subgroup you call yourself, a woman, a school teacher, whatever, your group was helped by another group, and you likewise helped another group. So celebrate that. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. And we are joined by Jeff and Jeff. Jeff Moran, Jeff King, they are soap makers, goat's soap makers, and I love their soaps. I've tried other brands, and they're not as good, so there's my little punch for them. They are part of the Town Center Farmers Market, and that's going to open up tomorrow and run every Tuesday and Thursday from like 3 to 6 and every Saturday morning. So, Jeff Moran, hello.
Hello there. How you doing?
Jeff King, hello.
Hello, it's John.
Oh, John!
Yeah, that's all
Jeff. Gosh.
That's okay.
I've been called other
stuff. I'll take credit for all of it.
I'm sure you've been called worse. What more can I say?
Just this morning.
Let's talk about the farmer's market. The thing that makes the Town Center Farmer's Market so unique is the variety of vendors that we have. So, we'll start with you. Let's talk about your soap company.
We have Quincy Town Center Farmers Market. We're located behind the mall over by 36th Street. We are there Tuesday and Thursday, 3 to 6, Saturdays, 8 to 1. And we've been in the soap business for a long, long, long time. We get fresh goat's milk right as soon as they get the milk from us or from them. We take it home. And John, he makes it, so I'll let him tell you a little.
You freeze the milk, right? Is that what you do?
Yeah, you got to freeze the milk first and then just put it into the hot oils. You just do that. And you think it'd boil over, but it doesn't. It just goes right in there perfectly.
Okay. And so you actually craft the different scents, the different lanolins. What do
you
put in your soap? J&J soap, your creams and your lotions have something in them that are really nice that some other commercial brands don't seem to have.
We have coconut in there, have soy in there, and of course the milk itself. The milk itself is because it's raw goat milk, so it's not like it's processed. It's raw,
right?
And so that helps out the vitamins and the making it real creamy like, you know. So
it is creamy. So it's the goat. So you really take all the credit, but it's the goat that does the
work. The goat does all the work.
So it's J&J soap, but it's really the goat.
The goat doesn't
get
any highlight.
No free advertising at all.
We just keep one at the house so we can
lead around.
And so you have lotions, creams, soaps, and, you know, they're very high-quality products, and they're on sale there Tuesdays and Thursdays and Saturdays. But, of course, there are other reasons to come to behind the Town Center off of 36 there. What are some of the other vendors you have?
Well, we have Crawford Farms to start out with. He's our manager, Corey. He raises tomatoes, the best sweet sugar baby watermelons, different watermelons. He will have this Thursday, which is tomorrow, green onions, green beans, zucchini, lettuce, and broccoli. And he'll have later on yellow tomatoes, potatoes, red and yellow, or red and white, just a big variety, peppers and stuff. And then we have Charo Farms that are next that has different items too. And then there's Jeff and or us, and you know, we have our soaps and stuff. Then we have Paul Smith with Farming Small that has all the fresh different meats, and he'll have eggs this year.
Oh, he will.
Yes, farm.
The thing about Paul is sometimes you have to make an order in advance. It's interesting. This custom beef business that he has, I think he has some pork too.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's amazing how people go for this. And I understand why. We buy from him, and it is so much better.
It is.
Than some cow that came all the way from Wyoming.
Yeah,
no offense,
right.
Cow from Wyoming, but I'd rather an Adams County cow.
And I can order a T-bone steak that's like double thickness. He will fix it like that. And and the brats, oh my gosh, his brats, they're out of this. They're perfect.
Okay, so just one more reason to attend the farmer's market. Work your way up the path. Now what's next?
Okay, then we have Jacqueline and Chris. They have mushrooms, and then also something new they
are
have
they
this year.
Are they the folks from Hamilton?
Yes.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
Then they have freeze-dried items that is new. So they freeze-dry like fruits and vegetables and the candy. All the kids go crazy.
I have had it all. It is so good. They have this indoor growing. They have, I'll have to find out, I don't know the name of it, but they sell a mushroom. Usually the stalk of the mushroom you don't really want, you just want the head.
Mm-hmm.
They sell a special kind of mushroom where the stalk is like a scallop. It's big.
Yeah.
And you slice it like in a half inch dice, and
the blue and the brown ones are,
the oyster ones. Yeah.
The blue oyster cults.
Yeah,
I'm part of
they're
the
really
oyster.
Good.
They
yeah.
are really good. So that is very unusual.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Very unusual. So go get their stuff.
And
very
then
good.
We have people that sell fresh honey. They have their own bees, and it is really, you know, we want to buy locally. And those people that, Pam and Mark that sell the honey and everything, we stock up on it because we use it in our tea and everything. And they sell beeswax, too.
The great thing about the local honey, and nothing against just going to a store and getting the, you know, Subi or whatever, but when you buy local honey, number one, all the things that the bee has been eating help your immune system.
Yes.
Okay, a lot of people with allergies and stuff, local honey really helps fight off allergies. The other thing is, like we have locally grown honey in our cabinet, and it will start to crystallize, which some people say, ew, I don't want that. But that's because it's not overly processed.
Yeah.
Right.
It tastes fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sometimes it gets so thick. I mean, you know, it's not been put all this fake stuff in it, you know. Sometimes you have to warm up the bottle a little bit to get it to flow because, you know.
Don't put it in the refrigerator.
Yeah, don't put it in the refrigerator.
You'll
never get it out of the squeeze bottle, that's for sure.
Just put a little warm water.
Good old locally grown honey.
And then we have, this was one of my really favorites besides our soap. We have a lady, Monica. Oh, she makes all kinds of hand-sewn stuff. She makes caps for people that are going through radiation, chemotherapy for cancer, doilies, dog scarves and stuff. But the thing that we're really doing it this year, not this Saturday, but the next Saturday, the 10th, we're having Pet Day. So everybody, we encourage people to bring their pets, bring them on a leash, their cats, and she has made little tuxedos, jackets, coats, scarves, anything, and I tell you, it's amazing. I seen a lot of the stuff she made, but little tiny tuxedos with bows and ties on them, and then, like I said, the jackets and the scarves for every size dog you can find.
I was going to say, a little bitty tiny tuxedo for a Chihuahua or a big one for a Mastiff. Both are available. Bring your dog so she can tailor it directly to that.
That's right,
I'll
she
have
can.
Fresh cold water. We have a lady that's making homemade dog treats for sale, a lady that's doing pet therapy or massaging for pets. And then, like I say, they bring their pets around. And we do have a new mascot, too. We had Zoe, who was our one that we have all the time. But she got a little sister named Emma, and she's going to be our second mascot.
Okay, good. Well, we're almost out of time. Jeff Moran and John King, thank you so much. You always are the voices of the town center farmers market every Thursday, every Tuesday, every Saturday. Sometimes not every vendor will be there all the time, but you have a Facebook page. You can keep up on that. And the most important thing is buy fresh. If it's there, it was just grown. It's just fresh.
Yes.
And, you know, you can't get a watermelon this time of year around here usually.
No.
So wait for things to be fresh and then stock up and can and do all that other stuff that you're going to do. And once you've tried J&J soap, she'll never go back to anything.
Yeah, look on Quincy Town Center Farmers Market on the Facebook, mm-hmm. and I do local every night, do the items and pictures and stuff, so you'll know what we have, what's coming up.
Yeah. Quincy Town Center Farmers Market. Okay. Thanks to the GOAT. I mean, we know that Jeff and John do some of the work, but thanks to the GOAT, that really makes the goat's milk soap. How many gallons of, real quick, how many gallons of milk do you use a year?
Oh, a lot.
I mean, 100?
A lot. I don't never want to keep track of it. I just keep it frozen. We use a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. Goats are nice to have, but they don't know the difference between a garden, flowers, and weeds.
That's right. So keep them on the weeds and keep the garden flowers away because they don't know. You're
and the
right.
one that we have in the house, we just have to...
I don't believe you for a minute. Okay, you guys are always so much fun. Thank you so very much. J&J Soaps.
Thank you for having
us.
Charles Farms, all the farms that are out there. Paul with his meat. The mushroom people, oh my God, I love those mushrooms. They are so good. I tell you what, folks, spend a little bit more. You're going to get a lot of value for that homegrown food. Thank you.
Yeah.